Please pray with me. Lord God, this morning, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives. All for the glory of your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture for today's sermon comes from our reading from Exodus chapter 20. So if you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, you can turn to page 61 or open your own Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to begin this morning discussing the Ten Commandments as a whole, and then we're going to focus in on the fourth commandment. Now, what do we know about the Ten Commandments? What do we know about what God had been doing there? We know from Hebrew scriptures that God chose Israel to be his people. We know that God promised that through his people, his chosen people, he would bring blessing, ultimately forgiveness of sin, and he would bring redemption to the whole world. We know that God miraculously delivered his people from slavery in Egypt. He miraculously provided food for them, bread, and meat in the desert. And then God called Moses up to the mountain for a meeting. And in Exodus 19, verse 4, God made it clear when he said this: "You yourselves have seen what I did." This is God speaking to the Egyptians. "How I bore you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself." Is there any doubt there, the point that God's making? He delivered his people. The people did not deliver themselves. This was a God like no other God known in that world. And in his next act, he gives clear instructions to his people, ensuring that they will be set apart, that they will be recognizable to the world, all by their worship and by their lives. They'll be marked by God's instruction. God ensured that they would be different. And this is important, that the Ten Commandments, or if you read the Hebrew scripture, the Ten Words, these Ten Words were to be the foundation for Israel's identity, for their set-apartness. The Ten Commandments are the foundation for all biblical law. They're the ground principles from which all of God's law and instruction flows. So Moses goes up the mountain, and there he receives God's instruction for his people. And it's interesting how passive Moses is in this process. Moses has been active, hitting the rock to bring water. He'd been active, declaring to Pharaoh what was to happen next. But here Moses is very passive. The Ten Words, the Ten Commandments, are spoken by God, and then they're written by God. Maybe he didn't trust Moses to get it right. Some might call him a micromanager. Moses was God's representative in all things. But clearly, God wanted to make sure that these 10 words, these 10 commandments, these 10 instructions were accurately recorded. So he wrote them with his own finger. They were that important. God spoke them, he wrote them down. And as we look at the 10 commandments, I want to note here that the first three commandments have something in common. They're all prohibitions. They all prohibit acts of disrespect toward God. The first one, verse 3, "You will have no other gods before me." That would disrespect me. Verse 4, "You will not make for yourselves any idols before me." That would disrespect me. Verse 7, "Do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," or "Do not swear falsely by God's name." That would disrespect him. There are three prohibitions for acts of dishonor towards God. And then we come to our fourth commandment. And as we look at our fourth commandment, I'm going to have 4 points for our discussion. We're going to talk about honor, differentiation, dependence, and blessing. So what is the fourth commandment? Keep the Sabbath holy. Remember the Sabbath. This, you're going to see, is a positive act of honor towards God. And it's noted in the Hebrew Bible, it's the longest commandment of the 10 words. I have a Hebrew study Bible. It's the longest one. God used the most words to fill this one out. Beginning with verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is to be within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Our first point is honor. This is a commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. It's a commandment of honor toward God. Remember the Sabbath day. Why? Because it honors me, God says. God says, I created the world in 6 days, and I rested on the seventh day. So as you honor the Sabbath, the seventh day, by doing no work, you are acknowledging me, you're giving me honor as the one who created, honor as the one who you worship and who you're dependent upon. Israel was to remember the Lord's day, or the Lord's rest on the seventh day, to remember Sabbath, and in doing that, they would honor God. Their remembering of Sabbath would be a witness to every other nation of who they were dependent upon, that they were a nation that honored God. Now, how, in what way did God command his people to honor him as they remembered the Sabbath? Well, God was very specific, and that brings us to our second point, differentiation. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or anyone else, your son, your daughter, your servants, your slaves, even the sojourner, your guest. Do not work on the seventh day, no one, not even your animals. God's people were to be different from every other nation and every other people group on the earth that worked every day. They were only to work 6 days. And then on the seventh day, completely shut down. No work at all. Now, this idea of the seventh day wasn't a new concept to God's people. Because remember that when God gave his people bread and quail in the wilderness, they had fled Egypt and they were complaining, as they did a lot. They were complaining, we may as well go back to Egypt where we had lots of food, and God gave them manna. Then when they complained again, God gave them quail. They were told, whatever you gather on day one or day two, don't keep it overnight because it's going to rot. But on the sixth day, whatever you gather, it will be enough. And it will last overnight. So they kept it overnight after the first day and it rotted. And they learned that lesson. But then on the sixth day to the seventh day, it lasted. This is a quote from Exodus chapter 16. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread. Then looking forward, Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath, Moses called it, to the Lord. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. And not only will there be none to gather, but God will provide. He miraculously provided the bread already, and then he provides for it to last and sustain them on the next day. And in the fourth commandment, God declares the Sabbath rest would forever be integral to his covenant with his people. This wasn't just a small thing. They were to never work on the Sabbath, or they were to be killed, as the law went on to say. Anyone who works on the Sabbath shall be killed. They were forever differentiated from every culture. No one working. So who delivered Israel from slavery? God. Who provided food and protected them? God. He did it. And this brings us to our third point, dependence. We've talked about honor, we've talked about differentiation, and now dependence. God wanted it to be clear that he was Lord, that it was he who provided for them, that they were dependent on him, but that they could trust him to provide. And the fourth commandment makes this point. The Sabbath day with no work says that God's people could depend on him. They witnessed it in the wilderness, and that's where they were. They were continuing to be fed. So every seventh day, they saw this miracle. They knew they could depend on God, that God would provide, that he was trustworthy. He was full of care and compassion for his people. Now, also recorded in God's laws, but later in Leviticus 25, there was note of a Sabbath year, that every seventh year they weren't to work the fields. They were just supposed to leave them alone and then eat whatever would be grown. They had to depend on God there every seventh year. That was foreign to every other culture. It was healthy for the land, as we now know, but it was foreign to every culture there, their dependence. This was a radical posture, never to work, no matter the circumstances, always to be dependent upon God on that seventh day, to declare honor to him through that dependence. Imagine the surrounding nations as they've experienced this. Maybe they were traveling through, they were a sojourner within the gates, and they go out on the seventh day and it's shut down. No one's working. They're invited in for a meal. What is this strange thing? Yet, at the same time, this nation is provided for by God. They never are lacking as they depend on their God. Sabbath was a witness. It was a testimony to the nations around them because they were different. Sabbath rest reminded God's people he was their Lord, their deliverer, and their provider, he alone. He was the one true God, and they could trust and they could depend upon him. But that wasn't the end of it. We move beyond dependence to our last point in our discussion of Sabbath, blessing. Sabbath rest was a regular reminder that their God was a God in relationship with them. He knew their needs. He met their needs every seventh day. He was with them every day, but they met that powerfully at that time. They knew it. God gave his people the blessing of provision on that seventh day, but every seventh day they got 24 hours of complete rest. People, their children, slaves and servants, their animals, and their sojourners in their gates. In Sabbath, they received the blessing of God's provision, the blessing of refreshment, of rest, the refreshment of restoration after 6 days of labor. And again, this was different from every other culture. And they all worked. This was across all classes. You heard that. Not you, your wife, your children, or your slaves. Everyone worked. There wasn't a hierarchy where some didn't work. God created us to work. They all worked. And on the seventh day, by his commandment, they all rested. It was a God-mandated rhythm of work and rest and refreshment. And not just that, but we also learn that they worshiped the Lord on that seventh day. That came to be their day of worship. They received God's provision on the seventh day, rest on the seventh day, and then also not just relationship with God, but relationship with each other as they shared meals together. As they slowed down, whether in families or then at that time extended families, they all gathered together. But as a community then, as they worshiped, the blessing of relationship. Sabbath is the day of worship, the day of stopping, and the blessing of relationship. Sabbath provided a break from all work. It was a day holy to the Lord, where they could worship together with no distractions, without somewhere else to go, somewhere else to be, something else to shop for. You know where I'm going with that. They were able to rest and worship undistracted. Now you may be thinking, this is great stuff, but what's it have to do with me? That's not realistic. What's it have to do with the church? Aren't these the old Jewish laws that Jesus fulfilled? Well, here's what we know from the New Testament. We know Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. He said that. We know that we don't earn God's love through any action or behavior or through following any laws. Salvation is a gift from God by His grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We know that scriptures record on many Sabbath days, where was Jesus? He was in the temple or he was in the synagogue, wherever he was, worshiping, teaching. But then he was also ticking people off as he healed. We know Jesus regularly confronted and infuriated the religious leaders with his lack of obedience and his new interpretation of God's laws, of their rules, including that of Sabbath. Recorded in Matthew and in Mark, Jesus and his disciples, as they were walking, picked and ate grain on the Sabbath. That was clearly breaking the Sabbath. You know, I kind of wonder. The disciples wouldn't have done that on their own choosing. They knew it was wrong. You wonder, did they say, hey, Jesus, we're really hungry. What do you think? Or did Jesus start eating first? Well, if he's doing it, we can do it. All we know is that they're in a public setting because they get called on it by the Jewish religious leadership. They're breaking Sabbath. After the Jewish leaders confronted them about that, the next scene, Jesus heals a man on the Sabbath. He says to them, kind of getting in their face, so what do you think? Is it better to save life or lose it? Is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? He gets in their face. And in the midst of that encounter, Jesus declared the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You think the religious leaders were mad before he said that, making himself equal with the God who created the Sabbath. Here's what we know. Jesus doesn't make a clear declaration for his followers to not honor the Sabbath, and he doesn't make a clear declaration for them to honor the Sabbath. What are we to do with that then? What's clear is that Jesus' followers, the early church, they met together regularly. They frequently did worship on the Sabbath, sometimes even in synagogues. The author of Hebrews said for the early church not to stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. The church was encouraged to meet together and worship together. There's no clear command from Jesus to his followers regarding Sabbath. But here's something we do have. We have Paul's command to the early church. And this is author Tremper Longman III. He's one of my favorite scholars. This is his translation of Romans 14. Accept Christians who are weak in the faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You see, they're talking about Sabbath keeping there. You have the Jews who are seeking to honor Sabbath. You have the Gentile followers of Jesus. They're all followers of Jesus saying, why do we need to do this? They're practicing it differently. So continuing. Each person, Paul writes, should have a personal conviction about this matter. Those who have a special day for worshiping the Lord are trying to honor him. Paul goes on to say, why do you condemn another Christian? Why do you look down on another Christian? Well, wait a second, Paul, just tell us what to do, right? That's what I'm thinking as I read that. What he does say is each person should have a personal conviction about this matter, including the matter of Sabbath. God ordained a Sabbath rest for his people, that's for certain. And following God's plan for Sabbath, it will bring honor to him. It will remind you of your dependence upon him, because it's going to be hard. You have to be intentional to not work or to slow down for any period of time and not be distracted. It will remind you of your dependence on God. It will differentiate you from the culture around you, certainly, as you live differently, if you seek to keep Sabbath. And it will bring you blessing in rest, in relationship with God, and in relationship with others as you slow down. Sabbath keeping, we know, brings honor to God, brings blessing, and you will look different to the culture. So do you honor Sabbath in your life in one way or another? Do you set aside a time or a day for rest and relationship and worship with no work? What might that look like if you did? Early in our marriage, Kim and I sought to have one day where we could slow down. We sought to do this. We had little kids. She stayed at home and I worked. So we were very busy during the week. We sought to do all of our yard work and everything else on Saturday. So Sunday could be a day where we weren't doing catch-up or projects, but we could get up and go to church. We could focus on a family meal together and we could play with the kids. It wasn't perfect. Didn't happen a lot of times, but that was our intention. And we saw those same blessings. We looked different when we did. We had the blessing of relationships with each other, and as we worshiped, we were less distracted. And it reminded us of our dependence on Him. Now, fast forward, our kids are bigger. We live in a different place. I kind of have to work on Sunday. So we've sought to Sabbath differently. I've made Friday my day off. You may have found that if you try to contact me. Sometimes later I might look at my phone, but normally I say, Kim, do I have to respond to this? Because she's made Friday her day off. When she worked in retail, she made Friday her day off. That was the deal breaker. And now as she's working in a different way with a professional designer, Friday's her day off. And the person she was working with said, you're not working when? Friday? That's just the way it is. So Friday is our day. The kids go to school. So we actually have quiet time together for a few hours. But then we seek to not do projects. We seek to rest. We seek to do things with the kids or leave the kids at home and go on a date that night. But we seek to make that Sabbath. It's not the day to get caught up on the budget or get caught up on things. Now, it's not perfect. We don't do it perfect every time, but we see those same blessings that we've talked about this morning as we do. I can affirm for you that if you make an effort to block off some time as Sabbath, maybe working toward a whole day, you will see God's blessing. You will be marked as different, and the culture around you, your neighbors and your friends, will notice. It will be an opportunity for witness and testimony. And that's my prayer this morning, that in light of God's ordaining a Sabbath rest for His people, in light of the blessings that He will give, that each of you will take time to examine what would Sabbath look like for you. And may this all be done for the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.